We'll bring you the July 8, 2011 rain report a bit late this week in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. From the Radio Amateur Information Network, I'm Brian Patrie, KG4WIJ, with this rain report. At the 2011 Dayton Hamvention, Tapper held its annual forum in which talks were given spelling out what Tapper is doing today and hopes to do tomorrow. One entertaining and technical paper was given by Bruce Perrins, K6BP, on Codec 2 speech coding. This week, we conclude our excerpt from this high-tech talk.
So what are our findings so far? Using just one bit to distinguish voiced from unvoiced frames was not supposed to be possible, worked much better than expected. There's space for supplemental data in those unvoiced frames because they're just noise. So we can send the key presses, we can send your call sign, we can do other things. But really the biggest thing that we learned is that there is no magic necessary. All of the work that's going on here is the same sort of DSP math that you'd have to learn to do SDR. What about HF? A lower rate version of the codec is possible. There's a lot more room for algorithm development. So right now this is all software. There's potential to retrofit some D-Star radios. I don't know if anyone will ever try to do it. New radio implementations should come with JTAG and programmable flash, not a closed system. Does it make VoIP use less bandwidth? No, because we're sending 7 bytes of payload for a frame and potentially a 512-byte header. So if you can tolerate a 4-second latency, you can fill up the IP packet, and then it's efficient, which is great for paging, but it's not great for interactive voice. Okay, help wanted. We've probably used up David's cycles for a while. We need more algorithm coders. Please just look up Codec 2 on the net, and you'll find us. The current implementation is floating point. It runs too slowly on mobile CPUs. We need someone to port it to fixed point using the macros from Speaks, which is another higher rate codec. I believe someone started but did not finish this project. There's lots of room for improvement of the algorithm and for writing more applications. I wanted to talk about open hardware outside of amateur radio. You've seen how much we're doing. But now there's an entire market of open hardware vendors. Even Texas Instruments is building and selling open hardware. And there's a company called Seed Studio, which has a pipeline for manufacturing open hardware designs that people make and selling them and paying them royalties, even though they don't really have to. Although they don't yet know anything about RF, they do this well for digital systems today. So Arduino is the most used device in the open source hardware movement for now. It's a general purpose embedded CPU, easier to program than a PIC, not the 32-bit PIC, the narrow PIC, more powerful than the basic stamp. It has a standard form factor into which you can make daughter cards and plug them onto the top of this, and there are several hundred daughter cards already available for every possible application. So this has started to see use in embedded systems for amateur radio. I recommend that you standardize on it for everything that can use it. Why do that instead of the PIC, the stamp, etc.? Community, community, and community. It's so big you're going to be able to find code for anything, pretty much. It's 100% open source. Google just selected Arduino to be the standard plug-in platform for Android. In other words, they took this ultra-secret iPhone interface stuff where you've to sign your life away to understand how to plug into it, and their version open sources the whole thing, which is really, I think, going to be a run for their money for Apple. They're using Apple's closeness against them. Now, if Arduino is too expensive, the ABR CPU that it contains is between $2 and $13, depending on the one power that you need. Approaches the price of the PIC, beats the price of the basic stamp. Why not use it? It's not 32-bit. It's not powerful enough, so there are other systems that you can use. TI makes three smartphone-like platforms that you can also consider all open hardware, duplicatable designs. The one that I just love, there's a TI processor called the OMAP L138, which is a mobile SDR dream. It is an ARM9, which runs Linux, on the same chip, a separate, very large instruction word floating point DSP, providing very many parallel mathematical units. On the same chip, two separate real-time RISC peripheral CPUs that do the job of a PIC maybe somewhat better. So four CPUs on a chip, all of the peripherals you would need for a smartphone, power management. You can shut down everything but the RISC peripheral processor while you're waiting for a button press, etc. Got some shared RAM and RAM/cache, whatever you're using it for. You would end up connecting external memory to do a smartphone platform. $35, quantity one, at DigiKey. Okay, this is not one of those unobtainium chips. So what we're saying here is we have the platform to do SDR in a smartphone form factor. So let's look at some open hardware approaches that aren't quite there, but look like what we want. So this is the DSO Quad. It is an open hardware oscilloscope. Costs $200. It's already available. This is a four-trace, two analog and two digital trace oscilloscope. It uses a ARM Cortex M3, a gate array, and 8-bit DAC. It looks like a smartphone. It costs $200. It has much, but not all, of the hardware that we would use in a smartphone form factor SDR platform. Someone is making this and selling it at a profit as open hardware, all open source software today. 72 megasample per second. Rumors of double that. Really nice scope, fits in your pocket.
You're listening to an unusually technical RAIN report by Bruce Perrins, K6BP, about Codec 2 speech coding. We'll conclude his Tapper Dayton-Hamvention presentation in a moment. This is the RAIN Report, available for transmission over amateur radio under a Creative Commons license. See therainreport.com for details. I'm Brian Patry, KG4WIJ.
There's a device called the Bus Pirate. This is a $30 open hardware device that is essentially a general purpose interface. Any chip that you get and you want to start making it work, you connect this to it and bit bang, and it does analog from 0 to 6 volts. So you can bit bang at multiple voltage levels. $30 does frequency measurement, does pulse generation, you know, from software, does all of these protocols already programmed into it. You can program gate arrays. Okay, you guys are listening to these folks who program gate arrays, and they've got multiple $1,000s of investment into their HP SDR. Let's bring that price down so that we can make more wizards. Okay, here is a CPLD developer, open hardware, replaces complex logic chips with $1 CPLDs. Okay, it runs multiple voltage levels so you can replace glue chips. Development kit, $15. They have all of the 74XX series logic chips in macros. So you can just put together a bunch of these chips that you used to wire wrap together in essentially software. It's one chip. It costs a buck. There goes all of the glue logic that we've always hated. Okay, Papillo 1 is a higher end thing. It is a gate array development platform that costs $50 for the 250K Xilinx Spartan chip, or $75 if you want the 500K Gate 1. This is so sophisticated that the guy who made this built an AVR8 CPU in Verilog, and you can put this on it, and you can program your entire project to run the AVR and test that it works with the AVR before you ever write any Verilog to run your project. And when you do so, it's on the same card. So this is a really rapid, easy development platform for doing a lot of gate array projects. When you go to the chip, it's $15 to $20 per chip, quantity one, DigiKey. Again, not pure unobtainium, all open source hardware and software design. What can you do with that? There are even analog lines on it. Okay, so all these things that they've been doing in HBSDR, you can take to other platforms, and you don't have to solder those little leads on the chip. Okay, MakerBot, a 3D printer, open hardware, makes small thermoplastic objects from your computer models. But it's not yet reached the really critical milestone, which is it doesn't make good Lego. When it makes Lego minifigures, my kid will not let me not own one of these devices. However, right now, the studs don't hold together like real Lego, and it's really jaggy. But as you can see, you can make parts like this. It costs $750. You send it a 3D model. This is a one-piece thing that it made. Things that are totally impossible to manufacture through other processes can be made with this digital printing process. And I've actually seen, although it's not open hardware, one that makes mechanisms with moving parts inside, because it prints wax between the parts that should move, and then at the end of the printing cycle, it melts the wax out. So they can make gearboxes that were never assembled and cannot be taken apart. So can you make a MakerBot with a MakerBot? No. There are no factories that make each other, and if you look at the output of this, it's really jaggy. However, you can make, for example, an HT case, and once you like it, you have to sand it off, you know, but once you like it, you can send your 3D model to a mold maker. So you can prototype things like an HT case or a knob. What do we do with this? I've 1 minute left. Why are smartphones so smart and HTs so dumb? Mostly because it's all we need for voice, especially with FM or black box codecs. We can't expect ham manufacturers to do with this with their existing embedded programming staff. Those guys have never programmed on an operating system. And as Motorola found when they went to smartphones, their programmers had a whole new world to learn. But our next generation HT is Pocket SDR. It runs Codec 2 in software, and it's a software application platform running Linux as your smartphone does. Smartphones do it today at a low bill of material. This cost $175 without a contract. I pay about $5 a month for my minutes. So you can get this today rather cheaply. Take a lesson from Apple and HPSDR. Make a great platform. Let others make applications. So how do you make all this grandiose stuff work? Well, I'm not asking to make an HT right now. I'm asking to make a desktop version of this using chips like the OMAP L138. That is a fully open, programmable, and self-contained platform. Make the platform like HPSDR. Let people take it and do their own stuff. Be open to serendipity, because the one thing I find with all of this is that people make things that you never expected, like radar out of HPSDR. You didn't really plan on that, Scotty, did you? this is a potential future direction for Tapper. Let the community develop the big board version, miniaturize once the larger version is solid. We can't depend on our HT manufacturers to do this themselves, but we can drive them, I think.
And that concludes a most high-tech talk about Codec 2 speech coding by Bruce Perrins, K6BP. Delivered during the Dayton Hamvention this past May as part of the Tapper Forum. For more details about Tapper, go to www.tapr.org. The RAIN Report is copyright 1990 through 2011, RAIN, all rights reserved. Now, for RAIN's founder and producer, Hap Holly, KC9RP, I'm Brian Patrie, KG4WIJ, wallowing in junk and bidding you 7-3 from all of us with RAIN, the Radio Amateur Information Network, www.therainreport.com.